Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In front of you, you have a memo that describes what the bill does and the actions that were taken by the Senate. Essentially, the bill creates the Oregon Innovation Council, the Oregon Innovation Fund, the Commercialized Research Fund Advisory Council, and the Commercialized Research Fund. The Senate adjusted the bill to take out $2 million in limitation for the Commercialized Research Fund with the expectation that the provisions of Senate Bill 853 would provide at least part of that $2 million. The governor had included $9 million lottery funds in the budget for OECDD. The budget bill has been revised to delete this limitation, and there's a $7 million lottery funds allocation and limitation in the bill. In addition, $280,000 has been added to OECDD's budget for staff support.
Terrific. Let's see. Is there anyone out there? I know we're not in a public hearing. We're in a work session. But is there anyone out there that wants to share their thoughts with us on Senate Bill 838? Anyone who's brave enough to come forward? Okay. Well, I have questions. Is there anyone who wants to address these questions?
Bravely, venture forth.
Come on up, Mr. Director.
I'll go over here in case someone finds courage.
Why don't we've gotten an overview of this. Why don't we I'd like to go section by section through this bill. I want to know what's going on.
I don't know if
you want to start and just start walking us through the bill and what it is and let us ask questions as we go through.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Salzgiver. I'm interim director of the Oregon Department of Economic and Community Development. As a broad overview, Ms. Lamont has provided in your memo a good summary of what 838 will do. This carries on the governor's recommended approach to carry on the work of the Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development and move it into, migrate it, or mature it into an Oregon Innovation Council. There is some confusion, or at least lack of clarity, that the Oregon Innovation Council or the Innovation Initiative is primarily targeted at the technology sector. While technology is a significant player, it is not the only player, and the goal here is to use and facilitate business activities to help businesses innovate so that they can remain competitive and succeed in a global marketplace.
I can interrupt you really quick.
Sure.
We have the honor of having the distinguished chairs of the House and Senate Revenue Committee. Please don't leave. Why don't we invite both these gentlemen up and the three of you can...
I'll just fall back. How's that?
Oh, okay. Okay. Why don't we have you folks come on up? We are we're in a work session, but we're inviting testimony.
So I'm glad you're here.
So, thank you.
I feel a little bit like patting at Bell Alameda.
So, it truly is our honor to have both of you here. Who would like to go first?
Senator,
if you just introduce yourself.
And sure, Ryan Decker, Beaverton, Oregon. Well, Mr. Chair, you know this bill and how it came about. Representative Butler and I have been cohorts on ONAMI from its inception. 3 years ago, it's been a real success for the state and one of the wiser and better investments we make, and a language that I know your committee uses a lot, which is leveraging, ensuring that it leverages private and federal dollars and helps build Oregon's economy. And this one, from what I'm told, of all the investments that we're making, has one of the best leveraging rates of bringing in, attracting private and federal dollars. And so for so many of those reasons, pleased to see this bill before your committee this afternoon.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Tom Butler from House District 60. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm honored to take this time. As Senator Deckard has indicated, this is a This is a current three-year pursuit, but it's probably much longer than that when you take a look at the time that we've expended over the last 5 years approximately working on the Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development to flesh out these ideas. And, of course, I think you have a pretty good feel for the fact that the ONAMI, for $1 million invested last session, we've seen a rather significant investment back in the state of Oregon. The important part of this is that we're reaching into some new markets, and I have the sense that the markets that we're reaching into will be the high tech markets that we enjoyed during the 90s. That will be the high tech and the medical markets of the medical devices and those kinds of things, using some of Oregon's high tech as well as much of our other medical acquired knowledge through the universities and the Oregon Health and Sciences University, as well as on our campuses at Oregon's engineering school. So with that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you do have a pretty good working knowledge of the importance of these kinds of economic tools. This is a very, very important one, we believe, for the state of Oregon to continue to diversify into the areas where we have some paths which have been blazed before us.
You talked about leverage. Give me some more detail on that. How have these dollars been leveraged?
Some specifics. You've got industries that come to town. These are the ones that aren't going to find a great deal of other acceptance in the bridging exactly where you're at and in the development of the new mousetrap. And so you'll have federal dollars, and you do have and we're attempting to work with other resources that could be available to us, but principally there have been federal dollars that have come as a result of the fact that some of the high-tech issues that we're working on are of rather significant national and international acclaim, and of course that capitalizes on the best that you have from the university level as well from the engineering as well as from the medical technology fields.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Crop.
Thank you. Welcome to both of you. I have some questions about, first of all, is why are we establishing a new organization here, actually a fund and a council, when we have the Higher Education Technology Transfer Board and fund? Couldn't that do all these things? Why do we need to abolish it and establish something new here? What's the thinking behind that?
Two parts, Mr. Chair, and that's an excellent question. I think that we debated a great deal in the interim. First, to the chair's question, I think our timing, the first question, I think our timing is rather fortuitous. And all of the folks, and it kind of gets that Representative Krupp's question too, all of the folks that are involved in what is OCED, which will become Oregon Inc., this new innovation council, one of the things I liked most is you've got folks from wide various sectors in Oregon, but none of them will benefit from ONAMI, from this research. But we will benefit because President Bush has recently signed they're going to establish 10 centers in nano and micro technology, and it really is the new product. So it's whoever comes out, like the kidney dialysis machine or the Department of Defense is just now investing in, which is these new lightweight military uniforms that are just smaller and more transparent. Those are going to be the benefactors of this legislation. We don't know who they are, but they're the new companies that germinate from this research. And then Representative Krupp, how we got at that is that you have all these different groups that confuse all of us a great deal, from ETIC to the HET Fund, which you mentioned, this Higher Education Transfer Fund, to the OGA account, which is housed in the Treasurer's Office, to OCED. And so the idea was, let's get rid of a lot of that. No one understands. It's all the same. We would call these meetings in the interim.
And that's what Senator Johnson calls the alphabet soup committees.
Yeah, and it'd all be everyone, the same exact people from the private sector, Mr. Salzgiver, Tom and I, and we said, well, this is crazy. We're all coming to the same meetings for different organizations. Let's just create one and have a coordinated strategy for the state on innovation instead of having 15 different ways to the same result.
And the innovation, Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, also addresses The Oregon Innovation Council also addresses that the higher education folks are at the table, and the, you'll see the expanded numbers. And the Oregon Inc. Council, which will include the economic development as well as the education community, as well as the other folks that come in from the high-tech industries in Oregon.
Mr. Chair, follow-up, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good answers, and it certainly follows logically and makes sense to allow some consolidation here and hopefully some efficiencies and in the dynamics that would occur from that. Everybody kind of being on the same page. I think it's a great idea. When you talk about the Oregon Innovation Council, are you only talking about technology issues, or are you willing to look at other issues beyond that? And the reason I say that is what we're doing here is we're carving off a couple of $1 million of lottery money. Very much appropriate. I think that's an appropriate direction to go. Trying to move it into an area and focus it where it can possibly result in some great opportunities for Oregonians in the future from so many different directions. And I'm fine with that. The problem I have, however, is that I tried to do this a couple of years ago, 2 years ago? Yeah, I think 2 years ago with money, OECDD money, to focus it in one particular area of agriculture. You know, I'm deeply ingrained in agriculture. And that was to provide some incentives to build slaughterhouses in Oregon for our cattle industry. And it's too bad that we didn't do that back then. I got a lot of pushback from a lot of people. The department was very good to work with on that. They helped us craft some language. It was really acceptable. But I got pushback from members of my own party in the House Republican Caucus on doing this, because they didn't like the idea of taking some money and throwing it in one particular direction at the exclusion and just saying, yeah, you get your money over here, but no one else can come play. And I have a problem with that. I frankly like this idea, but I have the problem that here we go back again, we're excluding. I didn't get what I thought we needed for agriculture to help in rural economic development because I couldn't make the case. And now you guys come with a great bill. But it's the same argument now in the other direction, is that why should we do this just for a group that's going to focus on technology issues, nanotechnology issues, right? Again, I think are all great things. And I want to do that, but why should I say it's okay for you guys to do this when I can't get it done for my rural folks in natural resources?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, we're both got a disadvantage. We were in a meeting in the revenue office, so we didn't have our files with us. My recollection is that this is not limited to just high-tech issues relative to those issues and biomedicine or those kinds of things. It deals with a whole list of various occupations in the state of Oregon that could be benefited, including agriculture and microchips and those kinds of things that can be used in agriculture and in all forms of both animal and plant lives, and the innovation that's coming, as we know, in all of these various kinds of things. I love to listen to futurists, and while we haven't had the benefit of futurists coming to visit in the OCAD portions of our meetings, futurists will talk about things like the genetics that of coming up with plants that you can plant along riverbeds and streams along the sides, which will infuse phosphates and nitrogen and those kinds of things out of the water and regurgitate back out cooler water, having been air-cooled by the plant, cleaner water, and then you can harvest the plants for the minerals that they might produce. Now, this is not out of the realm of possibility. This isn't Dick Tracy kinds of science. This is information which we have on the drawing board today that could help in the natural resources within the state of Oregon. So I guess it's not just biomedicine and the biochemistry. It's not just the nanotech and the small instruments that are going to help us become more efficient at our desks. It's not just those which will help us live better, healthier, stronger lives. It also will address issues of agriculture, and you've seen, Representative Krupp, some of those within just the last few years of using the global positioning in your farming and the ability to know on any windrow on your farm exactly what production is looking like over any other windrow and get chemical analysis via the satellite pictures that are available to us. Much of that is the kind of thing that we would be addressing in the on the Oregon Inc., looking for innovations in all kinds of philosophies and disciplines.
I have a couple questions. I've been doing economic development for about 15 years, and I remember starting in economic development, and the buzzword was TQM. And then we moved to empowerment, and now we're moving to innovation. Help me quantify that this isn't just a buzzword, but this is really something that the state of Oregon ought to take seriously in terms of its direction and moving its department. About every 7 years we hear the new buzzword.
Mr. Chair, well, I'm really not into buzzwords myself personally. I would say this, that a few years ago we probably were moving to different kinds of levels of commitment to Oregon's technology, and we were riding our way. Why invest at that particular point? Why invest for the bottom when you're on the top? And unfortunately, that was prevalent during that time. Today we're crawling back up out of a time when we've had some difficult situations. But at the same time, remember that through the Oregon Opportunity Task Force, the Oregon Opportunity Fund, which was created at Oregon Health and Sciences, through the help of the state, we were able to raise $200 million, and through private industry and outside investment have raised one and a half times that much for a total of $500 million invested in biomedicine in the state of Oregon. And to examine what that's brought back into the state of Oregon just thus far, without expanding our horizons very much further, we believe that Oregon is on the leading edge of one of the world's greatest places for medicine in that process. So it takes, as you well are aware, Mr. Chair, it takes money to attract the money back into the state.
On the Innovation Council itself, under voting members, who's there to represent small business?
Well, a lot. Mr. Chair, many of them are going to be emerging businesses. I mean, I think a number, probably I would guess the majority of the private sector folks, from the venture capitalists to the folks who are in emerging businesses, it really is. And that's been one of the frustrations I think we've had is that it's seen as a large business, but it really is dedicated to fostering a small business, a small startup.
And but let me rephrase my question. Maybe, Mr. Salzgiver, you can come on up too. When I'm looking at five members appointed by the governor who are engaged in the operation of Oregon traded sector industries, you folks, some of the folks in here get tired of me saying this, but it'll be new to you too. We walk out the door and go down the street, and we go into any business there, and we say, hey, what traded sector industry are you in? They're going to say, what are you talking about? But if we say, we're putting this together to help small business, they might understand that. So what I want to know is have we talked to this Oregon Small Business Development Network?
Mr. Chair, if I might, from my experience of sitting at the table with some of these folks, while they have most all of them have been involved in the traded sector industries, I don't know that all of them today, the people we serve with presently, are chairs of national corporations or major traded corporations. Certainly the people that are there today serve on boards of directors of traded industries, but they themselves are small businessmen. They started most of them started pretty close to the bottom in these kinds of small businesses and have demonstrated the success that they can do this.
Would you be open to an amendment that would allow the Oregon Small Business Network to be a participant on the board? Let me tell you why I asked that. We have the technology piece. We have a funding piece. What I don't see is who's going to provide the technical assistance for, I don't want to use the word business plan because that's a macro issue, but who's going to help with the cash flow management? Who's going to set these companies up in a legal way, making sure whether it's, you know, a limited liability company or a sub S or a straight C corp? Who's going to help with a marketing plan? Who's going to help develop the market? And I think there's a real partnership opportunity between what you're trying to accomplish with the Innovation Council and with your 19 small business development centers out there, especially all of which are located at community colleges or universities, who can provide a link between the technology and getting this thing to the market. Look what I'm talking, you guys know this. There's a big difference between creating a gadget and selling a gadget. And we gotta figure out what's that link, and I think your small business development center networks provide that link to help you with this project. Mr. Salzgitter.
I have three chairmen, so
come on up.
Get an innovative third chair.
Great, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, if you look at Section 4, the purposes of the council. If you look at Section 4 at the purposes of the council, one of the purposes is to support emerging businesses. On page 1 under Section 1, emerging businesses are defined as companies with fewer than 100 employees. And there are some other criteria that are there for purpose of definition. But the point is it's targeted at seeding new companies. That is a purpose. It is not the only purpose, but it's a significant purpose. And so small business by definition is included in the focus of the council's work.
Don't you think, though, that it's a discredit to the network to not include them in this?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't view it that way, and I think certainly it's an entity that the council would undoubtedly consult and advise and perhaps might be appointed in some capacity.
We have the International Trade Commission, but we don't have the Small Business Development Network.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, this is targeted at growth and traded sector industries. And so it is not limited. And again, it is the use of technology in each of those sectors targeted specifically at growth industries that will bring the highest paying revenue generating jobs to the state.
Who's going to fill the gap between the technology and the market?
That's what the Commercialized Research Fund does.
Who's going to provide the expertise to these entrepreneurs to ensure that they have a working, viable business plan, a cash flow plan, they're structured correctly, and they've got a market?
And Mr.
Mike, I don't see that as being really the mission of the Innovation Council itself. I think the Innovation Council, and while it may not deal with the actual people on the front rows as much as it will be moving forward with the concepts, where it's a resource to those people, not the one-on-one with the business people, but with the small business community. And I think it's certainly the Oregon traded sector industries. You could certainly have a spot there for the Oregon small business. The small business development organization, but I think that they are dealing with a little bit different level than where the actual Innovation Council is really intercepting.
Well, let me tell you why I think this is important. When you go to Section 9, it talks about the council making grants and loans from the Oregon Commercialized Research Fund to Oregon emerging businesses. Mm-hmm. I look at this list now back on Section 2, and other than two or three people on there, tell me who's qualified to review a small business plan in making a financial transaction.
Mr. Chair, if I may, these folks, most of them have been in the trenches. Now, I'm not going to speak for the commissioner of the community college services or the chancellor of or the director of the economic development department, but most of the folks in the traded sector, most of the folks in the venture capital and and the growth in technology and high industry. Those are not people who were born and raised in the ivory tower. Those are the folks that have come up through the trenches, and they're the people who will do those kinds of outreach that are seen as resources.
But do you see the issue I'm struggling with?
Who's
going to review a business plan and say, you know, I've looked at your cash flow statement, and I see how money flows in, and I see how it flows out, but have you looked at this over, you know, a segment of time, say 18 months, so we know where the downturns and the upturns are? So that way we're not back here in 18 months saying, gosh, Economic and Community Development Department, you've just granted money to a company that didn't cash flow.
That failed.
Wouldn't it be smarter to have someone who represents and understands small business to be a key player in this?
Mr. Chair, I wish they were here and actually represented Butler and myself, although Mike does it as well. I'll just speak for myself. The folks that are on line 8 really are the best, and those are the 5 members that the governor appoints. If David were here, I know Jack Wilson was here, but if David Chin were here, or Jim Johnson, who was the former site manager for Intel in Oregon, and Alan Alley, who's the chair, and I think we'll continue on, hopefully, and he's the CEO of the third fastest-growing technology company in the world.
Right.
And before that, was a venture capitalist, and so helped start, I think it's well into the teens, if not 20s, small companies, and that's what Onami is all about, is helping germinate these small companies. But David and Alan and Jim and others really provide that expertise that they've done, because the questions that you ask really are the $64,000 question that we ask at the council all the time, is how do we beef up the commercialization at the universities, at the, well, community colleges to a smaller extent, but how do we beef that up to ensure that that is exactly the questions that you're posing to us are there, that you can take these ideas that are germinating, as Scott Gibson says, in a petri dish, another member of who's a pretty prominent venture capitalist in Oregon. How do you take those ideas that are germinating in a petri dish at OHSU today and move them into a company? And so some of the successes they've had is bringing in one of the best persons in the world from University of Washington, and I forget his name right now, but he's at OHSU, and we just recruited him. And that is what he's doing. We got him to come to the Hill to help really do that. That's all he does, is commercialization of research. And fortunately, we've made a lot of headway, I think, in the last year or two, partly because the questions I think you and others have asked of, okay, we're doing this really good research. We found Onami, which is the innovation economy, and it's really your first question. What Oregon's doing in the United States, we're going to hopefully be one of the 10 centers in the United States. It pales in comparison to our competitors.
I'm just worried there's elitism in this. And what I want to know is if we amend this bill and we include or we define small business in this, what's going to be your reaction?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might, my reaction is we're almost near end of session, so amending the bill becomes problematic. I think what you're hearing here, though, is when any governor is governor in part because they know how to reach out to parts of the state that reflect small business and their employees. You and I have talked about taking the small business development centers and taking them to another level of excellence in terms of performance measures and creating a technical training institute for small businesses, so that the presence of the director of economic development assists in translating the work that's done there through that individual and into the council. And then, as we pointed out, any of the 5 members that are appointed by the governor from the industry sectors, the language says they are engaged in the operations of those. So these are people that know what they're doing, and they know.
I don't understand. If I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to take this great idea that's coming out of the university, and I want to try and advance it forward, and I know that I can go to the Innovation Council to try and get some seed money. I know my craft. Okay, I may not be sophisticated in the what fors of how to move this forward. And the first thing that I get to do is go face a 5-member appointed council made up of the director of the department, the chancellor of OUS, the commissioner of community college services, the state treasurer. That's going to be pretty daunting to an entrepreneur.
But also in
who's going to be there to advocate for the small business owner?
Also in this proposal are funds that would be made available for the staff to be able to bring those kinds of programs forward. Also, you have a number of advocates on a number of fronts, through the small business development centers, through the university system.
Why not just put them on the board? Why not just put one on the board so that way small business is represented?
Actually, Mike, something you said, and I just remember this. Pat is not here.
She's in Portland.
Pat Scruggs. But her job would be, too, if we keep her and she continues on to help us with this, it's her job, and that's what she does, is to be the eyes and ears, and to answer your question, Representative Smith, is to really do that, is to shepherd, because you're right, that would be very intimidating to come before that council and say, here's my idea. We've had people doing public testimony that doesn't go well. Is really her job would be, let's do some one-on-ones. Let's help shepherd you through the process of, and we have an ONAMI board who would hopefully do the same thing.
And trust me, I'm not trying to be argumentative on this. She doesn't know small business. Why can't we get a person on there who understands cash flow, who understands a marketing plan, who understands what it takes?
Actually, Pat does.
Mr. Other people. But why can't we get somebody? We have 19 small business network centers out there. Why can't we get somebody who represents those, who can serve as a link? I mean, I see a fight going on between something that's just very rational. I mean, your small business development center network's already tied to the universities and the community colleges. That's who we're focusing on. Why wouldn't we put them on the board so they're naturally there to help the small business owner?
Mr. Chair, I just want to say this, that they do act as feeders.
They're huge feeders.
Those small community, SBDCs actually act as those in many aspects, incubate the ideas, they incubate typically the people that we see on the OCED at the ONAMI are not people who just have an idea and decide, well, I'm going to throw this out in front of somebody. Usually you will have incubated that idea, gone through the small business development centers. That's why the Commissioner of Community College Services is on here as well. Your SBDCs are typically located with the community college system, but then they get the proper vetting at that level, and they're properly screened, and I don't know that anyone has ever come forward that just said, hey, I've got an idea for a better mousetrap, and here it is. Usually they will have been working with these other folks before they get to that point, but I would say also that I don't see these folks sitting as the loan committee to say in and of themselves that we've just decided to go ahead and hear 20 loan applications today without recommendation of staff and go ahead and make the necessary grants, loans, or other resources of making those available from the Oregon Commercialized Research Fund.
But they are the loan committee, because if you go to Section 9, mm-hmm. It says the Oregon Innovation Council may make grants and loans from the research fund.
Right, but they will have been properly vetted before they get there at that particular point.
Let me ask this question really quick. You're going to make a loan. Who's going to ask the question on the committee about UCC filings and deeds of trust, security positions? Who's going to ask questions about how to review a credit report?
I would say, much like a bank, Mr. Chair, that when the loan committee receives the package, has already gone through that vetting where the prior year's tax returns, the cash flow, the legal setup of the entity, the proper cash and accounting systems have been accounted for. That will have all come in the package.
Who's going to help the small business owner do that?
Again, that would not be directly a member of this committee, as I see it, but this committee would act then as a winnowing out of those other folks who. The feeder organizations, including the Small Business Development, and perhaps I have a skewed opinion of it, but again, based upon my history, these folks have usually, and it's not uncommon. And if I may just use a personal experience, I think it was Jim Johnson and Alan Alley and Scott Gibson all have sat in on the college, the university master's programs, the thesis programs, where they have, and the business master's and business administration, where they have to come up with an organization that's been, that's actually been created and is running with the various concepts.
What I would do, and I don't want to monopolize all the time, I want to let other committee members ask questions. I would be very interested in seeing board membership include two entities. One is the Oregon Small Business Development Center Network, and two is a commercial lender. Because I think you need to have someone who's looking at an application who truly understands how to read a commercial credit report, who understands how to read a UCC filing, who can then verify, because you're going to be, I assume there's going to be updates on lending and grant activity, and you're going to want to be able to have somebody on the board to know what questions to ask in terms of ensuring that security is collateralized correctly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the council is, authority would be provided to the council to set the rules by which it issues grants and loans. Certainly in Section 9, there's clear guidance that the to qualify, they have to come forward with a eligible business plan, to establish a concept of potential research. And certainly the rules by which the council grants those could encompass that. I guess the practical comment here is that further amendment of the bill likely is going to push our ability to get it done out. To the extent that we can express the sense of the House or of this committee through floor statements or the legislative record, and then capture the specifics of what you're requesting in the rulemaking process, that would be certainly amenable to us.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Crop.
Thank you. I really have to, gentlemen, I have to express concerns, the same concerns that the chairman is expressing here, and let me give you an example of why. Section 9, Mike, you're just referring to, says, sub 2, qualify for grant or loan of the session, Oregon emerging business, must enter into an agreement with one or more research institutions to carry out proof of concept activities, and then it lists a number of those, establishing commercial potential research, develop a business concept, blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess my question is, how many research institutions out there have the expertise, if they're research institutions, to do exactly what he just talked about, to put together a qualified business plan that makes sense, that'll fly? I think, frankly, this is a real concern to me, because you're codifying this in law, saying that research institutions are going to be the people that do all these things to help an emerging business. And I got a problem with that. I don't think necessarily research institutions have the experience and the real world on the ground hands-on experience of helping these things happen for an emerging business. Because an emerging business, in my mind, and I think you have it defined here, is a business fewer or less than 100 employees, so on and so forth. And I don't know. I'm concerned about that language. I think it's a little vague, and I don't know that making floor statements and you can fix this by doing that by rule, to be honest with you. So I'm kind of concerned about it. I got to say, I do appreciate many of the other sections, sub 4 on, talking about the matching cash that has to come and the repayments of loans and the maximum amounts, and if you go out of state with more than 50% of your employees, those are all really good things, and I'm glad you've got that criteria in there. But I have a problem with that. Another thing I have a problem with, and I'm sharing this with you now, is that we're going to spend a couple of million bucks here, hopefully to help Oregon emerging businesses, and what I don't see anything in here about results. What are we going to get for spending that money? Do you have performance measures for how what we're going to achieve? When we come back here 2 years from now and you've granted maybe $1.5 million worth of loans to people, what kind of results are we going to see? What kind of performance measures are we going to adopt with this legislation for this council? And you know that we've done a lot of hard work in this legislature. For the first time ever, that I've been here for 8 years in performance measures, asking agencies to do that kind of thing. And I think it's very appropriate that we would ask this council to adopt or amend the bill to demand that they adopt performance measures here, so that we actually can come back and measure, have we achieved anything here?
Mr. Chair, if I might, certainly the performance measures that are adopted on behalf of the Oregon Economic Development Department should apply. And if you look at Section 5, the Oregon Innovation Council really is to help develop the state planning for the innovation and the economic competitiveness in the form of identifying and expanding Oregon's industries, our core research strengths, and basically related to those trade and industries. We've given opportunities now for our universities to own stock in these traded industries, and we anticipate that this will be a method whereby universities will play a greater role, and that's why you see so much participation, but also to expand the transfer of technology and the commercialization of that research, promote the investment in specialized research facilities and signature research centers, where Oregon has a distinct emerging advantage. And I think that we have demonstrated a significant advantage, as Senator Deckard has indicated, in some of the areas where we've been able to attract top-notch folks to help stimulate these startup programs in the state of Oregon. So I think maybe part of the question that's being asked, I see it a little bit higher level, and not to be, Mr. Chair, not to be aloof or not part of the common folks, but I see it as being an opportunity to reach out and utilize the resources which we have in this regard to capitalize on that which we already have within the state of Oregon. This isn't new to Oregon. This is utilizing what is already here and not trying to reach out. But I also want to be sensitive to the issues of making sure that the governor would appoint within the traded sector industries, would appoint people who recognize the importance of small business. And again, my experience and exposure, while the people who we deal with are involved in the traded sector industries and certainly have been in their business life the leaders in some of the traded sectors themselves, they are presently not the chief executive officers or chief financial officers, other than perhaps Alan Alley, and that's because it used to be a small Oregon business, and now it's a big Oregon business, which has gone worldwide. And Alan's experience in the past has been, and I don't mean to speak for him personally, but his experience has been to take a small business and make it into a great big business, and then go back and start another small business and make it into a great big business, and to be successful and create lots of job and employment opportunities. I think that's one of the reasons why we became very sensitive to make sure that these folks retain the Oregon employment base as part of this, because I think much of Mr. Alley's time is spent now in his emerging significant traded nationwide, worldwide traded sector outside the country, developing new offices elsewhere. But those folks, given the opportunity to concentrate on Oregon, will do that as well, and I think that will be a great benefit to the state of Oregon, again, capitalizing on what's already here.
Mr. Chair,
please.
Good answer, and I appreciate that. I wonder why we need to do this at all, and let me explain myself. Okay, because in the language of the bill here, you talk about that the Innovation Council shall provide advice to the governor, Legislative Assembly, us, and so many other, and you talk about all of the areas in which you're going to focus those efforts, and that's proper to lay that out as kind of a direction in the business plan. And you also say that the OECDD shall provide the staff support for the council. So if you look at the makeup of this council, these are all people that are very well-known and highly placed individuals in the community and in government and so forth. You know how things work around here. I know how things work around here. We rely on staff members like Robin to get the detail work done for us. She does all the work. We come in and ask questions and do things like this and make decisions and make recommendations. Okay, Robin does all the work. She does the heavy lifting.
Sounds like we're all blessed with really good staff.
Well, we are, and we've asked a lot of them. We appreciate all their hard work. So here's my point is if OECDD's staff is going to do all the work for all of these people whose lives are taken up being director of economic development, chancellor of the right on down the line, then they're going to rely heavily on your staff, OECDD staff, to do all of these things that you've tasked them to do in the statute here. Okay? So if OECD staff is really going to be doing all the work, why shouldn't the governor just say to Mike, go forward and do all this stuff and you don't even have to have a council? Because what's going to happen here, honestly, what's going to happen here is what always happens. All these great people are going to come together and agree or disagree on how we should do things here and try to fulfill all of these tasks, all of these things that are good and need to be done. And they're going to be relying solely on OECDD to provide all of the real hard work on it. And they're just going to rubber stamp whatever you do. So why not just have OECDD do it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, let me give you my vision from where I'm at. And that's from 400 plus miles away from the state capital and still nearly 400 miles away from Portland. Typically what's going to happen here is that the council will meet after being appointed and then they will begin to divide responsibilities amongst probably four or five areas dealing with how are we going to outreach the people in the state of Oregon. Through the OECDD and Mr. Salzgeber's office, counsel or assistance will be given, and these are more in the form of facilitators. So as members meet, and perhaps the chairperson of the International Trade Commission will serve on three different of these committees, and the state treasurer will serve on two of those committees. They'll still be meeting again, in an attempt to identify and expand those identified industries within the state of Oregon to increase technology transfer. And again, about the only thing that I have to look on is the history of experience. We've done a pretty good job through the OCED and identifying the ONAMI as a way to get to the next step. And that was just done last session. And we have one really good attempt and one really good success. And what we're now saying is, okay, we've got our feet on the ground. Let us have another opportunity at this with a little more money. I think the return right now is about 31 times on the monies that the state has invested at this time in the ONAMI. Let us have another round of attempt. And we've done a pretty good job, too, of bringing a lot of other important partners to the table, bringing those folks to the table. And in all fairness, I guess one of those is, in fact, an executive with Hewlett-Packard International. So we do have one major publicly traded person on the board at this particular time. And I'm going to guess that with regard to Jim, he'll probably be back, I would think. So these are people who are invested in the community and want, and that's where the ideas are coming from. They create some awfully fertile soil on the campus of Hewlett-Packard to make sure that those folks have an opportunity to come there and then begin to procreate those ideas that are really important in the utilization of the resources that we have available to us.
So Mr. Chair, and Representative, if I may just encapsulate quickly what you just said, is that basically you think all of these diverse people can bring some value in terms of ideas and direction to the table and then task OECDD staff to go investigate those and see if they're real, if this is a direction we can go.
Both, it's an exchange. It's an inter-exchange between the staff because in between meetings what you'll have is you'll have them picking up new information from industries that are coming forward members of the committee then would be also sharing that information back. There's a tremendous exchange and an interchange of information. And then, again, historically, I think the actual council has met once every 2 or 3 months, the full council, to come back and basically to return and report on the tasks which we have been assigned, and then to receive the criticism of the entire group, and to say, you know, you've come far away, you're not serving these sectors of industry that we believe have that should have been identified or that are identified as areas that could trade or expand in our research strengths, our other strengths in the state's present economy, or here's a new opportunity to grasp on an emerging market. And again, over the next 2 years, we hope that we'll be able to come back to you and say, you know what, we fell and bumped our nose here, but we've done some really good things here, and Oregon is this much closer to a full recovery.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, if we go back and look at the flow of how this started, what you had originally were government and business and higher ed talking about how to synchronize their work and to be create a stronger symbiotic relationship. Their focus was really on high growth emerging businesses. And the strategic guidance that they gave or that they were seeking was to leverage and to incubate and to grow those businesses. OCED was really a test bed for it. And OCED, as Representative Butler has said, has leveraged a 32-to-1 return in dollars invested versus the ROI was 32-to-1. Thousands of jobs have been created. And my rapidly fading excuse for being new is I don't have all of the data in front of me. If Pat were here, she'd be able to tumble it ad nauseum. But OCED really tested that concept of how that partner, public-private partnership, together with the research community could work. Oregon Inc. is intended to deepen and mature that now. And that's really what this bill encompasses. And it will be supported not just by OECDD, but by the business community and by business and by the university system and others who have a stake in that effort.
Let me ask you this question. The state of Oregon already has multiple loan programs. Why create another one? Why not just modify an existing loan program?
This really consolidates loan programs that are already in existence. And it creates them under a new banner, but it basically is a consolidation, as Senator Deckard had mentioned earlier.
Explain that. I don't understand that.
Well, the Engineering Technologies and Industry Council, ETIC, has some funds that they have available to them. OCID has some funds. There are other funds that are available. These consolidate them into
right,
the Oregon.
Why don't we just take the Oregon Business Development Fund, tweak the definition, you have a ton of cash sitting in that, and use it for loan purposes?
I suspect,
you have
Mr. Chairman,
loan committee already in place.
I suspect, Mr. Chairman, we could find funds parked around state government that we could look at consolidating, and we're going to engage in an interim task force that will look at some of that. As of now, this group recommended to the governor, and the governor embraced with the legislative leadership that were involved that the consolidation plan that Oregon Inc. captures is the right way to go for now. They didn't take a much more holistic look beyond that, and certainly didn't look, at least that I'm aware of it, the other funds that might be available in the state system.
So walk me through this just so I want to play the whole scenario. I'm a female minority from Boardman, Oregon, and I see there's a great opportunity to take some research that's coming out of Eastern Oregon University. What do I do?
Typically, if the business person, depending on the local contacts, they may go right to a financial institution. They may go to a small business development center. They may go to some other technical assistance. Typically, somewhere along the line, OECDD is going to hear about that, or they will know to come to us directly, either through a community college, through a university, through a lending institution, or wherever.
Why would an SBDC refer someone to this?
Because we will have communicated as such.
You just told the SBDCs you don't want them on your board.
Well, I didn't say that. I said they're not currently encompassed in this or specified in the bill, but certainly any effort that doesn't include a small business representative typically doesn't work much.
Do you think a lender from Eastern Oregon is going to say, boy, you've got an opportunity here. Why don't you go head on down to the Oregon Innovation Council and go put your application in?
Well, if we've done our job right, those entities will know about this. And we communicate with those entities on a number of fronts, like the Oregon Development Fund and on other programs that we manage on a regular basis.
So who's going to hold the entrepreneurs, the minority female entrepreneurs' hand to go through this process and to come before the board? Who's going to be there sitting beside them?
And we haven't done a good job, this hearing tells me, we haven't done a good job of explaining the good work that's occurred by the questions that you have asked and by the questions that some of the folks that were previously mentioned from private industry have asked. They've said very clearly, and this is about 4 or 5 years ago, we have got to do a better job basically getting at the heart of your question of ensuring that folks who have an idea or research. And the Austin Family Business Program at OSU is a good example of that, the outgrowth of that, or what I mentioned at WED OHSU has done by bringing in really that faculty, those folks who that's all they do, is they ensure that you can actually, you have ideas, because as they say very, very often, and it's really on point with your question, is they say, these are folks who have the ideas, but doing all of the heavy lifting that you mentioned of how do I actually start a company, that's the problem. Idea to company.
That's right.
And so they have, and I think the work that's been done in the last 3 or 4 years, and it really hits on Representative Croft, and Mr. Chair, your question is, that's been created, I think. And we haven't obviously done a great job of explaining how well, and the university folks might be able to answer it better than I, but how well that's gone by recruiting. I sat with the fellow from OSU, Ohio State University, who's now at Oregon State University, and you probably have met the gentleman. He really is national caliber, and his sole mission now at OSU is to do the very work that you and Representative Kropp have asked. Must
do a favor. If Mrs. Zavala is out in the hallway, would you tell her to come back in?
I don't know.
Oh. Anybody, somebody grab Lisa Zavala and ask her to come back in.
Can you walk us through Section 29?
Thanks.
Line 14. I don't understand that.
University system. West side water bonds. What's that in there for?
Great. You go as long as you want, but when you're done, I'll... Mr. Chairman, I'm going to plead ignorance here. I don't know, but I'll find out and get back to you.
This isn't a sneaky attempt to sneak something in, I hope.
What line are you looking at?
Last page, page 13, line 14. West Side Lottery Pond.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. There is a standard language that is put in any lottery fund allocation, and this bill has a lottery fund allocation that clarifies the priority for the expenditure of lottery dollars. And in this instance, this is clarifying that debt service gets paid before any lottery fund allocations get made.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the word West Side is.
It is lottery bonds that were issued in, I believe, 1993 for West Side Light Rail in Portland.
Ah, okay.
Representative Avakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I am covering things that were discussed before I was in, feel free to cut me off and we can move on. It's complicated and ambitious, and I do have to tell you that I appreciate the work that must have gone into putting this together. I want to ask several questions that are more conceptual in nature related to the higher ed system, and separate from that, related to the business sector. But with regard to higher ed, it seems to me that there was a time, maybe the time is gone, when higher ed existed in order to educate people that would then move into the private sector and contribute to society, and that in part maybe because of our continual decrease of funds, state monies, to our own higher ed system, that system has become dependent on federal research grants, on private money, And is really less connected to the state of Oregon, which is maybe why, Mr. Salzgiver, you stated three entities of the government, the business sector, and higher ed. I don't think that's a positive thing for our higher ed system. But it seems to me that they have become more and more profit centers and less education centers for the intrinsic value of education. This effort seems to me to just shove them further and further down that road of entrepreneurship and profit, and further away from educational centers for the state of Oregon. And maybe you can just comment on the value to society in doing that before I ask you my other questions.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Babakian, thank you for your comments on the work. These folks did the work. I was been in and out of this for many years, but I haven't been in it involved in it until recently. I'm going to put my old business hat back on for a minute. And when I was down here the last 10 years lobbying this body, the major concern that the business community had was the state's disinvestment in higher education. And it is a serious problem. Governor Kulongoski has highlighted that and has indicated that it is a major priority of his to arrest that disinvestment and begin to turn it back up. In the meantime, the state, the relationship between citizens, people going to college for the sake of gaining a higher education, to prepare for a career or for a vocation, that work continued. And these folks had to survive somehow. And so a strategy that has evolved is to seek investment from other sources not directly tied to state revenue or state appropriations. In my heart of hearts, as somebody who has served on school board, who has been asked to serve on a community college board, and who is actively involved in my alma mater's work, ongoing work, I strongly believe that Oregon, if we are going to prepare our citizens for the world that's coming, you have to strongly invest in higher education. It's pre-K through gray. That system has to be healthy. So that said, I think what's evolved here is a system that was trying to fill gaps in some respects, but it's also a reflection of a more sophisticated look at the relationship between business, citizens, government, and the educational system. Now that's kind of a highfalutin answer, if you will, but I really think it was a model that evolved in a decade when we had extraordinarily high streams of resources, much of which was not being directed into higher education.
Yeah, I agree with your characterization of how the model has evolved. What I'm getting at is whether or not that's a positive thing or a negative thing for society.
I don't see it as a negative in the context of a healthy system. In a healthy overall system, it's not necessarily a negative.
And I guess my concern, and Ms. Zavala, if you wanted to comment, you could, but you certainly don't need to. I guess my concern is that I think there is tremendous value in state institutions that have more of an ability to provide an equal opportunity for access to the institution by students. And that the further we move from a state institution to one that is dependent on private resources, that it really becomes a more competitive, a more entrepreneurial type of institution, and that we really lose what is the entire philosophy around public education. So,
Mr. Chair, if I might, again, drawing from the experiences that I've been privileged to witness in working with the OCED group, I might just also relate to you that the campuses, the Oregon's university campuses, are great resources for private industry to come and exploit and set up their industries next to our campuses. I don't know that this gets exactly to what Representative Blockin is trying to get to, but if I can just make a mental picture of something that's happened just in the last 6 months, those of you who have picked up a National Geographic in the last 6 months will remember that just a few months ago on the face of the National Geographic, a Tibetan monk with all of the headgear on showing all of the various brainwave activity and that brainwave measuring. That comes from the University of Oregon, from an institution which is created off to the side of the University of Oregon campus. That I don't remember the exact initials of the organization, but GSI, which is an Oregon, now an Oregon-based company. A lady who is working at the campus with students on psychological evaluation, brainwave activity, and mental health issues. And if you'll recall that article talked about all of the brain centers that deal with many kinds of things, not the least of which are brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, and those kinds of things, and the research that's being done, and now much of the information that's available relative to the development of the brain of a fetus all the way through ages 2 and so forth. At any rate, they've been able to draw from the campus those folks who are involved in the psychology and their master's and advanced programs, and they've been able to share that fertile area, enhancing opportunities for students both in the classroom with their professors and then enhancing their opportunities to go back out into the world right there. And they don't have to leave Eugene, but if they do choose to leave Eugene, I'll tell you what, right now, as a result of the articles that have been produced about this particular industry, those folks have huge doors that are now open to them worldwide because of the research that they were doing in conjunction with the campus.
No, absolutely no problem in my mind with public-private partnerships that provide opportunities. When you cross the line into forcing the universities to into a mode of survival by finding profit by way of those types of relationships, and I know that that is the case because I've talked with two of our three university presidents who have told me, we're not so interested in the state money anymore. We're looking towards research grants and private foundations. So you know that they are becoming dependent on that private money. That's the point at which I have concern. But let me move to my conceptual question about the business sector. Let's say Portland State University gets its engineering department off the ground and they invent some great new chip. There are businesses out there that you're going to look to link them with, and you're going to provide one with a grant or a loan in order to produce this research. How is it that you don't put the state in the position of giving a competitive advantage with public dollars to one business over another, who are all competing in a free enterprise system within some area? How does this not put the state in that position?
I guess, Mr. Chairman, Representative Avakian, I guess the simple answer is that the ability to apply for these funds are open to any entrepreneur with an idea.
We're retaining the power to pick and choose between businesses, and we're going to use public money in order to allow one to do something that another business can't do.
And there is an element of that in there. I can't disagree with that. But the state does that on a regular basis with any kind of investments that it makes across any number of fronts, whether it's forest research, whether it's fisheries research, agricultural research, high-tech research. We look to support efforts and sectors which are high-growth potential. We think that is a good strategy for the state to participate in. And in doing so, it leverages the larger sector and creates an opportunity for other companies or other initiatives to join that.
I have a little bit of a concern, and you may not be able to answer this, that what we're really developing here
is a system in which universities become more and more dependent on private dollars, more and more partnering with individual corporations. And then we set up a system within the state of Oregon itself, separate from the university system, in which we are going to free up public money in order to pick and choose between businesses that can take advantage of the very research that the universities are doing. That seems to me to be an inappropriate tinkering with a free enterprise model.
Let's do this, colleagues. It's 12:15. I think Representative Abakian asked a very good question that perhaps we can get an answer to. I'd also like to throw out the thought that I'd like to know what the effect would be if we added a representative of the Oregon Small Business Development Network and then also from the private commercial lending community. Also, I'd like to know why we can't use existing loan programs within the department to serve this capacity. Why do we need an additional loan program when we already have four that are available and could be tweaked by definition?
Let me add one more thing, because I don't want my last comment to sound too preclusive. I think the themes that we're talking about here might be very helpful to the state and to the university system and to business. But where we're at in the development of it now, I have no idea where the parameters are around the concepts that I was just talking about. And that's the part that concerns me.
Mr. Chair, one comment, please.
Yeah, please.
Just a timing consideration. As Representative Butler and I, we were across that revenue right now, and we're trying to march quickly, and I think we're going to meet to do all the final budgetary agreements and put them in place and start running the bills. And we've got our paperwork done on the four that we have to ensure the budget is balanced. And so that we kind of looked at each other about an hour and a half ago and said, we've got to rock and roll to get ready to adjourn from this process and trying to get any agreement that we have. I think we're going to try to do it this afternoon if we can. I'm just really concerned about timing is that we're going to try to do everything and maybe even do something before Sunday or Monday.
Let's do this because I think it'll encapsulate everything we've talked about because Representative Krupp also raised points about performance measures. Because I'm sure that there's a business plan created for what we're looking at doing, why don't you just get three copies or a copy to each of us on the business plan that has been created for the Oregon Innovation Council and its setting up, so that way we can take a look at it, and then that'll give us a chance, I'm sure, to answer all of our questions.
Shortly after lunch, Mr. Chair.
Please.
All right, we'll get through.
Seeing no other discussion before us, we're going to recess. Do we need to recess?
I think
we're only an hour, don't we? Yeah, we're going to adjourn, excuse me.
Back with you, Mr. Chair.